Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. Today, we're taking a sharp turn from recent topics and taking a break from all the capital stuff, which I think we can all use. This episode is all about Biden's relief package, social media, and Yang's mayoral run. Let's get to it. Shout out to our Tier 3 patrons, Peter Park, Shay Meehan, and Nathan Stankowski, as well as all our other patrons. You keep us all informed and engaged. If anyone out there wants to join these advocates of humanity first and independent journalism, head on over to patreon.com/yangdaily. It would only take a couple of bucks a month from each listener to keep this podcast and community going and growing into the future. Biden's first $2 trillion relief plan has been released. It includes increasing the $600 checks to $2,000 and including adult dependents and the spouses of immigrants who were shut out of the original check by the GOP opposition, increasing the UI bonus to $400 per week and extending it from March through September, increasing the child tax credit to $3,600 per year per child under age 6 and $3,000 a year for children under 17, extending eligibility for the child tax credit to millions of poor families, increasing the earned income tax credit from $530 to $1,500, establishing a $15 an hour minimum wage, billions for childcare, extending the eviction moratorium through September, 14 weeks of paid sick and family medical leave, grants to more than a million small businesses, $35 billion toward making low-interest loans, tens of billions for food and water assistance, food stamps, and funding for U.S. territories, $20 billion for vaccination, $50 billion for testing, and $130 billion to renovate schools for COVID operation. So that's a lot of stuff. It's neatly organized in a Twitter thread in the links below for you to refer to. This bill is Biden's attempt at bipartisan legislation and would require a 60-vote majority to pass the Senate, assuming the almost certainty of a filibuster. He says that if Republicans are not willing to work with him on this, Democrats will bypass them via budget reconciliation, which cannot be filibustered and so requires only a simple majority. That bill could be even larger. Unless we see a magical shift in GOP legislators post-Trump, I don't see this passing. I would like to see the $2,000 checks pulled out and passed on their own first. People need immediate relief, not delays from olive branches to a GOP that has proven entirely unwilling to meet the needs of the country on stimulus. Then, I would like to see Biden back one of the recurring cash relief bills in the House. He has accepted the sound economic advice that government spending is the way to dig us out of this recession. That's great. Act on it by giving every American a guaranteed income. Make sure that Biden and your legislators know your opinion on this and how their decision will affect their future. Snapchat today announced that they are making Trump's account suspension permanent. Since they removed him from discovery, Snapchat says he has continued to violate their guidelines dozens of times, each time they removed his post and sent warnings to the president's social media team, which appear to have been ignored. Snapchat's team say they do not wish to be a conduit for spreading misinformation, especially because the platform's newsfeed is unmoderated, meaning anyone can broadcast falsehoods to a wide audience. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey laid out his thinking on this issue of free speech and moderation in social media in a series of tweets that get into the weeds, but show how he is aware of the complexities and trying to discover solutions to these thorny and enormously important problems, much like Yang. Here is a truncated quote of the lengthy thread. "I do not celebrate or feel pride in our having to ban Trump from Twitter, or how we got here. After a clear warning we would take this action, we made a decision with the best information we had, based on threats to physical safety both on and off Twitter. I believe this was the right decision. We faced an extraordinary and untenable circumstance. Offline harm as a result of online speech is demonstrably real, and what drives our policy and enforcement above all. I feel that a ban is a failure of ours ultimately to promote healthy conversation, and a time for us to reflect on our operations and the environment around us. Having to take these actions fragments the public conversation. They divide us. They limit the potential for clarification, redemption, and learning, and set a precedent that I feel is dangerous. The power that an individual or corporation has over a part of the global public conversation. A company making a business decision to moderate itself is different from a government removing access, yet can feel much the same. We are trying to do our part by funding an initiative around an open, decentralized standard for social media. Our goal is to be a client of that standard for a public conversation layer of the internet. We call it Blue Sky, end quote. Continuing from an embedded thread about Blue Sky, quote, the value of social media is shifting away from content hosting and removal and toward recommendation algorithms directing one's attention. Unfortunately, these algorithms are typically proprietary, and one cannot choose or build alternatives. Yet, existing social media incentives frequently lead to attention being focused on content and conversation that sparks controversy or outrage, rather than conversation which informs and promotes health. New technologies have emerged to make a decentralized approach more viable. Blockchain points to a series of decentralized solutions for open and durable hosting, governance, and even monetization. It will allow us to access and contribute to a much larger corpus of public conversation, focus our efforts on building open recommendation algorithms which promote healthy conversation, and will force us to be far more innovative than in the past. The work must be done transparently in the open, not owned by any single private corporation. We'd expect this team to not only develop a decentralized standard for social media, but also to build open community around it, inclusive of companies and organizations, researchers, civil social leaders, all thinking independently about the consequences, positive and negative. Our commitment is to fund this work to that point and beyond, end quote. So, as you heard, he's torn between moderating hate speech and a precarious position of Twitter being a megalith in social media. This is largely an antitrust issue, but it may spread beyond that, as the degeneration of truth led by Trump and profit-driven media has proved the dangers of unchecked lies spreading virally with no filter. He also specifically mentions the concern we speculated about earlier, that of kicking people off big networks, resulting in them moving to less scrupulous echo chambers. He also mentioned the effects of monetization and algorithms leading to toxic public discourse. The Blue Sky Project is not well described, but intriguing. It seems to be an attempt at a code of ethics and procedures for all social media in general to avoid biased rules or enforcement, but it's not entirely clear. We are going to need to see progress in this area, whether from private entities or public or both. I think we'll ultimately need AIs to fact-check statements and filter out lies, but it wouldn't be easy by any means. Likewise, for developing profit incentives and algorithms that promote healthy information and discourse. All right, so I've been looking through Yang's New York City website. A lot of the policy has yet to be added, but here's what I've found so far. Yang would implement a $2,000 per year basic income for the poorest citizens of New York City. The city government would invest $1 billion per year into the program with the intent to expand over time as more funding from public and philanthropic organizations are found. The ultimate goal is ending poverty in New York City. The basic income will not be considered income for means testing purposes, meaning it will stack with all benefits. This is obviously a huge departure from his federal plan. UBI doesn't work nearly as well on a local level, and the funding becomes much harder to come by. This is why the new plan is more of a limited trial. $2,000 a year is a very small amount for the cost of living in New York City. To be honest, I'm not entirely sure what the intent of it is, other than the obvious of helping people on the edge to make it, as it does not seem to demonstrate anything in particular, the way giving a real livable income to some people would do, or giving a small amount to everyone would do. I'm sure we'll hear more about his thinking on it in the future. It also remains to be seen how much and in what way it could grow over time. Without passing new taxes, it will remain very limited. I expect most of Yang's impact as mayor will come from other initiatives. I won't go through all of his policies, but here are some that he has posted. Establish a voucher program to subsidize purchases at local businesses, aiding both consumers and local small business. Create a People's Bank of New York City, which would help the unbanked escape exploitative fees and could help businesses that larger banks will not. invest $100 million a year into providing broadband access for all, including long-range Wi-Fi at city buildings and homeless shelters. Invest $100 million raised from private sources in 1,000 startup companies with founders of diverse backgrounds to create the country's leading startup incubator. Incentivize equitable 5G infrastructure rollout by charging utilities proportional to the affluence of the area. Reopen schools with proper PPE and safety measures. Lower fares for public transport so people can get to work. Expand the existing universal pre-K program to three-year-olds. End Madison Square Garden's property tax exemption. Create a community currency called Borough Bucks to help community members share goods and services among each other when they lack the money to do so. Establish a standard method for all businesses to verify who has been vaccinated so as to facilitate reopening. Enlist a small business czar to act as a single point of contact and streamline processes. Make each business department responsible for 15,000 openings and asking businesses what can be done to help. Streamline regulatory approval for daycare businesses. Gather the best remote curricula created by teachers during the pandemic and make it available to all students. Put a one-year moratorium on business fines and shift focus to correcting violations within 30 days. Pass the Small Business Jobs Act, which protects small business owners during lease negotiations. Push for a vacancy tax, where landlords pay a tax if storefronts remain unoccupied for too long. Make a permanent low-to-no-interest loan program for small businesses. Automatically renew licenses and permits without fees or applications. Make it easier for minority and women-owned businesses to get government contracts by breaking up big contracts into smaller chunks, doubling procurement awards to MWBEs by 2025, and appointing a former MWBE owner as the next head of the MWBE office. And facilitate co-op incubators and trainings in each borough by supporting organizations such as the Green Worker Co-ops in the Bronx and help groups connect with vacant office, retail, and manufacturing space as needed. Again, you can find all those listed in a thread below or, of course, at yangforny.com, though mine are a lot more concise. This is just a fraction of his eventual policy list, but you can see how he's scrutinizing every aspect of business in the city to try and help small businesses recover and prosper. No real mention of where any of the money is coming from at this time. Probably more on that later. I'm still conflicted on whether Yang could do more good for the country as mayor of New York City versus lobbying Congress and the Biden administration, helping pragmatic progressives in their own races, etc. And obviously, one of the biggest issues is that he cannot run for president in 2024 if he wins this mayoral race. On the bright side, winning is far more likely in the mayoral race. In fact, he's currently leading the pack in both polling and betting odds, a stark, stark contrast to how he began his presidential bid. Also important to note that New York City uses not only ranked choice voting, but also public campaign finance for their mayoral election, which means the people have a much better chance of getting the candidate that they want. What I most hope to see from Mayor Yang is taking conditional welfare programs, making them direct cash aid, removing as many conditions as possible, and showing the world how it both improves lives and saves the government money, just like in Canada when they gave direct cash to the homeless. Obviously, there's a ton else that he can and will do that I'll be excited about, but I think proving piece by piece that unconditional cash is the way to go is what can most benefit the nation. As mayor, he will, of course, also have more clout to influence other politicians and endorse good candidates. I mean, it's Andrew. He wouldn't be doing this if he didn't think it was the best path forward for the country, and he's usually right. Either way, he's gonna do some good, and we're gonna help. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Bookmark and share the relief package thread, Jack's social media thread, and Yang's policy thread. Lobby Biden and Congress to pass standalone checks and recurring checks. Flood Congress with calls, tweets, faxes, and letters using the Resist Bot or Income Movement easy contacts below. If you need help, consult Humanity Forward, the Income Movement Aid Database, the Mission Asset Fund, United Way, or the H3 Podcast thread. And don't forget to Yang Daily.